This week's parsha is Parshas Matos Masei, and we'll focus our shir in the last story of Parshas Matos on chapter 32, pasuk number 1. A quick synopsis of this last story of Parshas Matos: the Torah tells you that the tribe of Reuven and Gad came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they asked, "Give us our inheritance on the eastern side of the Jordan River." In other words, we don't want to cross over the Jordan River to go to Eretz Yisrael to get the land. We find this land outside Eretz Yisrael a beautiful land of pasture. And since they had a lot of sheep, they asked that they be given as an inheritance the land outside of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset at them, saying that you are doing something wrong, but that you are causing the Jewish people to be disheartened, to be afraid to fight against the nations that are in Eretz Yisrael, and you are following in the footsteps of the spies that claim that Eretz Yisrael is inhabited by very strong kings and the Jewish people aren't going to be able to conquer it. They in turn say that they are going to build stables for our sheep and houses for our children, but all male men of age to fight will go on to fight alongside the Jewish people in order to conquer the land of Israel, and only after we conquer the land of Israel we'll come back to our families here in the other side of the Jordan. Moshe Rabbeinu agrees, and he makes a condition that if they will go and fight alongside the Jewish people, then they will get this land outside of Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance. But if they don't go to fight alongside the Jewish people, then they will not get this land outside of Israel as an inheritance. Now we'll start with the first pasuk on our parsha, and we'll analyze certain things. The first question we are going to ask is the juxtaposition of this parsha with the previous parsha of the war with Midian. The simple answer Meforshim want to give is that the reason that they are coming to Moshe Rabbeinu to ask that they should get the land outside of Eretz Yisrael for pasture is because they had a lot of sheep. You're going to ask me how come they had more sheep than anybody else? The answer is that since they just had finished fighting with Midian, and the people from Reuven and Gad were very strong warriors, therefore they were able to take more loot, and therefore they had more sheep. So that is the direct connection why right after the story of the war of Midian, the Torah tells you that they had a lot of sheep, and since they had a lot of sheep, they are asking to keep those sheep outside of Eretz Yisrael, because that's a better land for pasture. The only problem is that the previous chapter, chapter 31, Pasuk 27, relates that the loot was divided equally between the people that went to war to the people that stayed behind protecting the camp. Also, we know that only 1,000 people from each tribe went to war, as it's written on chapter 31, pasuk number 5, that they equal 12,000 people, 1,000 men from each tribe, and half the loot was divided equally amongst these 12,000 men. Then the same proportion of loot came to the tribe of Reuven and Gad as it came to the other tribes. Then obviously Midian could not be the source for them having a lot of sheep. Then we have our question again: how come the story of them having a lot of sheep and them asking for the land outside of Eretz Yisrael follows right after Milchemes Midian? The Meshech Chachma answers that this is directly related to what is written on chapter 31, pasuk number 48 and 49. There, the commanders that went to war against Midian approach Moshe Rabbeinu and tell him, "Avodecha nasu es roish ansha milchama shebeyodeinu." Your servants took a census of the people that went to war under our command. "Vernifkat mimenu ish," and not a person is missing. And the officers continue telling Moshe Rabbeinu what they want to do. "Vanakrev es korban Hashem," so you have brought offering Hashem, "isha shemotzo klizov," a person that found vessels of gold, a tzadah, anklet, v'tzomit, a bracelet, tabas, a ring, ogil, earring, v'kumas, and a clasp over the intimate part of a body. And the Talmud in Shabbos 64a notes that all this jewelry are women's jewelry. So the Talmud tells you what the conversation was between Moshe Rabbeinu and these officers. Talmud says, Om Rav Nachman Rabba Baravu. Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabba Baravu, Ola Moshe Israel. Moshe saw that they bring this gift as atonement to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Shemu Chazartem Mikul Kolchem Horishoin. Maybe you have gone back to your original corruption, meaning that since the whole idea of the war is to take revenge on the Midianite, that it caused a lot of Jews to die because you had illicit relations with the Midianite women. Maybe you, when you went to war against the Midianites, you again corrupted your ways and again you had illicit relations with them. Is that the reason why you're bringing atonement to Hashem? Omar Uloi, they told them, Lo nifkad mimenu ish. Not a single one of the people that came to war got caught or did something wrong. In other words, nobody stumbled with the Midianite women, and that is not the reason why we're bringing an atonement. Omar Lohan, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you didn't do anything wrong, imken kapara loma, why do you require atonement? Amru Loi, the officers told Moshe Rabbeinu, imidei avero yotzanu, true that we have escaped committing sin, but midei hirur lo yotzanu, we saw these women and we had improper thoughts. Therefore, miyad vanakriv es korban Hashem, therefore, we have brought this sacrifice, this offering of Hashem to atone for this thought. Since when we had to take away the jewelry from these women, we had to look at them, and that caused us to have improper thoughts. As atonement, we are bringing this jewelry as a present to Hashem. In a way, almost as tshuva samishkol, as exactly tshuva in what caused you to sin, that since the jewelry is what caused you to sin, because that caused you to look at the women, therefore we are giving back this jewelry to Hashem and not having any gain from it, to serve as atonement for our improper thoughts. As a side note, we could state the obvious that you could see clearly that just looking causes you to have thoughts, and for looking alone, you require to have atonement. Even if you didn't do any action, you require to have atonement. According to this Gemara, the Meshech Chochem explains, we could understand the connection of the story of Midian to the story of them asking a portion on the other side of the Jordan. And the connection is that in the end of the story, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to make a condition to the Bnei Reuven and Gad and say that if they go to Eretz Yisrael and fight amongst their brethren, then they'll get the portion outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad agreed to do that, and they built stables for their sheep and houses for their children and wives, and they go to Eretz Yisrael to fight amongst their brethren. We know that they will stay away for 14 years, 7 years that took to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and 7 years that took to divide Eretz Yisrael. The question is, why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu afraid that the men, since they're going to be away from their wives for so long, that they will have relations with the women of the land? And the answer is that since Moshe Rabbeinu saw how pure-hearted the people going to war against Midian were, how even for improper thoughts they wanted to bring atonement, even though they were not required to do so, Moshe Rabbeinu felt confident that these people, if they go to war against the kings of Eretz Yisrael, they will behave the same way and they'll keep their thoughts and their action proper. But this came about only after he saw that the people from Midian were able to keep themselves in a level of purity. He felt confident that he could propose the same thing to the people of Reuven and Gad, and they will keep a level of purity. This Meshech Chachma addresses the juxtaposition between this parsha and the previous parsha, but it does not address the question how come Reuven and Gad had more sheep than any other of the tribes. On the first pasuk, on chapter 32, it says, "Umikne Rav oyu livnei Reuven," and a lot of sheep was to the children of Reuven, "Velivnei Gad otzu me'oid," and to the children of Gad was very strong. That is a literal translation, but one meaning is that he was very strong in sheep, which means that he had a lot of sheep. And they saw the land of Yazor and the land of Gilad, that they have very good pasture, meaning that they saw the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael were very good for pasture. And Pasuk number 2 tells you, Vayavoyu bnei Gad uvnei Reuven, that the children of Gad and the children of Reuven came, Vayoimru el Moshe ve'elozer ha-kohen ve'el-nesi'a o'ed o'leimor, and they said to Elozer ha-kohen and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, we'll ask a couple of questions on these two psukim. First, why is the pasuk dividing the Mikne Rav, the abundant sheep that Reuven had, with God's sheep that Otsu Me'oid, that's very strong? If it's meant that they both had a lot of sheep, why divide them? It seems to be the Torah could have just write down Umikne Rav Ve'otsum, and a lot of sheep and strong sheep, Oyu LeRuven Ulivne Gad, that the children of Reuven and Gad had a lot of sheep. Why divide them, saying that a lot of sheep had Reuven and God's sheep was Otsu Me'oid, was very strong or very abundant? Why not put them together? The second question that we have is why the first pasuk is written that a lot of sheep had Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad had strong, so Reuven is written before God, and every pasuk after this, God is written before Reuven. The approach is written by Vo Bnei Gad uvnei Reuven, that the children of God and the children of Reuven approached, and so too the rest of the parsha. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu talks to them, or they talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's always written God before Reuven. In other words, in the first pasuk seems to be that the first one, the most important, is Reuven, then God, but everywhere else it seems to imply that the children of God are more important than the children of Reuven. In truth, there are certain mafarshim that say that any time in the Torah it's written two names and the order is one time reversed, you could always say that the Torah wants to tell me that they are equal to one another. As Rashi himself brings down on Parshas Va'era, chapter 6, pasuk number 26, there it's written, Hu Aharon v'Moshe, that this is Aharon Moshe. So Rashi says that sometimes it's written Moshe and Aharon, that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aharon, and here it's written that this is Aharon and Moshe, which is written Aharon before Moshe, to teach you that Sheshkulim ke'echot, that both of them are equal, that Moshe and Aharon is the same thing as Aharon and Moshe. Could be here too, that it's written first Reuven and Gad, and then Gad and Reuven means to say that they are both equal, there are no priority between them. But the Ramban here asks this question, and the Ramban explains the following. The Ramban says that originally when it's telling you about the happening, who had more sheep, it has to tell you Reuven first, because Reuven is the child of the Bechira, is a child of Leah, the primary wife of Yaakov, and Gad is a child of Zilpah, the secondary wife of Yaakov. Therefore, in the introduction of the story, it is proper to write down Reuven first. But afterwards, the Ramban says, he writes down Gad because Gad is the one that gave the advice first to have the portion outside Eretz Yisrael, and they are the ones who are always talking to Moshe Rabbeinu regarding this inheritance. And they were stronger than Reuven, as it's written in the Devarim, middle of Azoy Sabracha, on chapter 33, pasuk number 20, Ulegad Omar, to God he said, Baruch Marche God, blessed is Hashem who broadens God, Kelavi Shochen, he dwells like a lion, the Torah v'niteres zroya avkotkoit, arm and head together. So Rashi explains that harugeyem hoyu nikorim, that you could tell from the body of a person that was killed that he was killed by one of the members of the tribe of God. How can you tell? Because chotchim horoish imazroya b'mako achas, that the people of God used to give one smite with a sword and used to cut the head and the arm together. And the Ramban continues that since the people of God were so strong, number one, they were able to take more loot from Sichon, they were able to take more sheep than anybody else, and number two, they were not afraid to reside unprotected outside of Eretz Yisrael. They relied on their own strength and they believed that they are strong enough to withstand any attack from the neighbors. And the Ramban continues and says that since they were so strong, they are the ones who started the idea to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael, and they are the primary people who approached Moshe Rabbeinu that they should get the portion outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, every time, after the first time, it's written that the Bnei Gad Ubnei Reuven spoke to Moshe, and Moshe spoke to Bnei Gad Ubnei Reuven. This Ramban answers our other two questions, because according to this Ramban, God received the extra sheep because he was stronger and he was able to conquer more out of Sichon, and that could also be what Reuven did. God did more than Reuven, but Reuven had more strength than any other of the tribes. Therefore, Reuven and God had this extra sheep. And maybe you could also answer our other question. We asked the question, how come it's written, Umikne Rav Oyu Livnei Reuven? How come it's written that Reuven had a lot of sheep and to Bnei Gad very strong? We could say that the Torah wants to explain to you why afterwards we are going to switch to God first and then Reuven, meaning that Mikne Rav Oyu Livnei Reuven, that Reuven had a lot of sheep, but the children of God had even stronger, meaning even more sheep than Reuven because God was stronger. Or maybe he's telling you that God had stronger sheep, meaning to say that he had more sheep because he was stronger. The Torah is alluding to the reason why he had more sheep, because Otsu Meoid, because he is very strong, as we mentioned, that he gives one blow and it chops off the head together with the arms. That could be the allusion for the Torah. The Torah is telling you in the first Pasuk that Reuven has a lot of sheep, but you should know God has much stronger sheep, has much more sheep, and also he's much stronger. So that could be why the Torah separates Reuven and God regarding the sheep. The Kli Yoker answers the question, how come it's written separate to Mikne Rav Oyo Livnei Reuven, that Reuven had a lot of sheep and Bnei Gad was very strong, in a literal sense. He explains that it means to say that the sheep of God wasn't only numerous, it was also very strong, meaning that the sheep of God were physically strong in the same way as the sheep of Rab Chanina ben Doise, which is brought in Gemara Tainus, Daf Chof Hei 25a. The Gemara says that Rab Chanina ben Doise had some goats. People complained that these goats are eating in other people's fields and are damaging their fields. So Rab Chanina ben Doise answered, if it's true that they are damaging your field, then let bears eat those sheep. But if it's not true that they are not damaging the field, let each goat bring a bear on his horn. The Gemara tells that at night, the sheep of Rab Chanina ben Doise, each goat brought a bear in its horns. The Kli Yoker says that the Bnei Gad had this kind of sheep. The sheep of Bnei Gad were so strong that they were able to kill wolves when they tried to attack. And because the Torah wants to emphasize this quality of the sheep, therefore it's telling you Uvnei Gad Otsum Be'oit, that the sheep of Bnei Gad were very strong. And he explains that that's why Bnei Gad were not afraid to stay by the border and not afraid that somebody is going to try to take their property because they knew that the sheep could protect themselves. And he explains that according to this, we could kind of give an excuse how come the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven seems to prioritize property over lives, because on Pasuk number 16, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, we will build stables for our sheep and cities for our children, which seems to imply that they give priority to their sheep than their children. And Moshe Rabbeinu rebukes them and tells them the opposite. You have to first build cities for your children and then stables for your sheep. But the Kliokar explains that they had in mind to put the sheep at the border and then the kids in the inside in the towns, meaning that if enemies will come, people will come and attack them, they will first try to get the property. So they'll first attack the sheep, and while they attack the sheep, the children will have time to run away. And if wild animals attack them, the sheep are strong enough to protect themselves and protect the people from the wild animals. And the Kliokar continues that Moshe Rabbeinu disagreed with that, because Moshe Rabbeinu said that if you're doing all these things, then you're showing your brethren that you are not relying on Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to see that the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven are totally relying on Hashem, that the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven are going to fight the war in Eretz Israel, and yet they have no protection for their children. They are relying on the protection of Hashem totally. They are sure of Hashem's protection, that they are leaving their children at the border and the animals inside. The children are technically defenseless, and yet they are still going and willing to fight with the Jewish people. That will show the rest of the Jewish people their total acceptance and total assurance that Hashem is going to help them, and that will give them strength that they'll be able to fight the kings of Eretz Israel and they'll be able to conquer Eretz Israel. Rav Simcha Bunei Peshischa explains that when it says Umikne Rav Ayu Livnei Reuven Uvnei Gad Otzum Oid, it doesn't mean to say that they actually had a lot of sheep, because there's no reason to believe that they actually had more sheep than somebody else. It means just to say Umikne Rav, acquisition in the Rabbi had to Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad Otzum Oid, very strong. In other words, they had a very strong attachment to their Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, that they wanted to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu does not die. Meaning that they thought that if they are able to make the Kedusha of Ever HaYarden become like the Kedusha of Eretz Israel, the holiness of the other side of the Jordan be like the holiness of Eretz Israel, then automatically they'll able to cancel out Hashem's decree that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Israel. Meaning that since Moshe Rabbeinu is already in Ever HaYarden, is already in the other side of the Jordan, and now that other side of the Jordan becomes Eretz Israel, then it turns out that the nether that Hashem made is already annulled halfway, because Hashem said that Moshe Rabbeinu won't go into Eretz Israel, and now the lands of Sichon and Og are part of Eretz Israel. If that is true, we have a rule from the Gemara in Nedarim, Chof Hei Omed Beis 25b, where Rabbi Akiva says, Neder Shehuter Miktsosoi Huter Kuloi, that a neder, a promise that was half annulled, then we annul the whole vow. Since Hashem made a vow that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Israel, but now that Moshe Rabbeinu is already in Eretz Israel, then Hashem has no choice. Hashem is required to annul his vow. And according to Rav Bunei Peshischa, the whole subterfuge that they used, that they need the land for grazing, was only an excuse to get the Ever HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan, holy in order to prolong the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the first pasuk that says, Umikne Rav Oyu Livnei Reuven, a lot of sheep was to the children of Reuven, Velivnei Gad Otzum Oid, and Tuvnei Gad, very strong, it doesn't mean to say that they had strong sheep. It means they had strong attachment, a great connection to the Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, that they wanted to convert Eivra Yarden, the other side of Jordan, towards Israel, in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to leave. But nonetheless, they gave the excuse that they want the Eivra Yarden as a land of grazing, not to be obvious to Moshe Rabbeinu that they want him to live longer. And according to this Rabbeinu Peshischa, I wanted to say, ends up very well, our original question. The original question was about the juxtaposition of this parasha Mikne Rav, that they got, Bnei Reuven had a lot of sheep that they conquered from the land of Sichon, with the war of Midian. Because since in the beginning of Parshas Matos, chapter 31, Pasuk number 2, that you should take the revenge of the Jewish people from the Midianites, afterwards you'll be gathered into your people, means that afterwards you will die, that depending on the war of Midian was Moshe Rabbeinu's death, comes out that right after the war of Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing to do, and Moshe Rabbeinu technically now has to go up the mountain and die. Right afterwards, Bnei Reuven, Bnei Gad, decided that they have to do something in order to prolong Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Therefore, right afterwards, they come up with the idea that now we have to make sure that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, extends to the other side of the Jordan. Like that, we'll be able to cancel out what Hashem wanted to do to Moshe Rabbeinu and cause Moshe Rabbeinu to live longer. Other Mefarshim explained that the reason that the second time Bnei Gad is mentioned first before Bnei Reuven, and the same thing in the rest of the Parsha after the first time Bnei Gad is always mentioned before Reuven, is because Bnei Gad, the children of God, had a lofty idea in having their portion outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that is clearly based on the Pasuk on Vezois HaBracha, Devarim, chapter 33, Pasuk 21. There it says, Vayar Reishis Loi. He chose the first portion for himself. In other words, he chose the portion of Yarden, Kishom Chelkas Mechoikek Sofoin, because there the lawgiver's plot is hidden. Means the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu is hidden in the lot of God. That God chose the portion in Eivra Yarden because he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be buried in his portion. According to this idea, that it was that the whole subterfuge was for them to be able to get Moshe Rabbeinu buried in their portion, we could say, like Rabbeinu Peshischa explains, that Umikne Rav doesn't necessarily mean that they had a lot of sheep, but they had a huge attachment to their Rav, to their Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, and they really wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be buried and die in their portion. And actually, at this time, their idea came to fruition. And as a matter of fact, the Gemara in Soita, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, brings down there that Omar Rav Yuda says, Ilemole Mikre Kosov, if it's not written a verse like that, Yev Shel Omre, we could not quote what happened. Because it's written, Eichon Moshe Meis, where did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Moshe Rabbeinu died Bechel Kol Sheruvain, in the portion of Reuven. As it's written, Vayal Moshe Marves Moav, Moshe went up from the plains of Moav, El Har Nevo, to Mount Nevo. That's in Devarim, chapter 31, Pasuk number 14. And we know that Nevo was in the portion of Reuven, because the Pasuk writes down in Bamidbar, chapter 32, Pasuk 37, 38, that Bnei Reuven built Ve'es Nevo, and Nevo. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu died in Nevo, Ve'eichon Moshe Kovor, where is Moshe Rabbeinu buried? Moshe Rabbeinu is buried Bechelku Shel Gad, in the portion of God, as we just brought the Pasuk of Devarim, chapter 33, Pasuk number 21, Vayar Reishis Loi, and he saw the beginning of the conquest he chose for himself. Why? Because there, the hidden plot of the lawgiver Moshe is hidden. Mechelko Shel Reuven at Chelko Shel Gad Kamohava. How is the distance from the portion of Reuven until the portion of God? What is the distance between the portion of Reuven until the portion of God? Arba Milin, 4 mil. Who took Moshe Rabbeinu in those 4 miles? Meaning, since there's a distance from Mount Nebo until the portion of God, there must be somebody transporting Moshe Rabbeinu from Mount Nebo, where he died, to the portion of God where he is buried. Melamed shoy Moshe mutl bekamfei Hashchina, Moshe Rabbeinu was laying within the folds of the splendor of the divine, meaning that Hashem was carrying him from the portion of Reuven until the portion of God. The Gemara seems to say that Moshe Rabbeinu died in the chelik of Reuven, in the portion of Reuven, but Hashem took him and buried him in the portion of God. So according to this, we could say that God and Reuven both had the same intentions. Both had the intention that Moshe Rabbeinu should have a death and have the burial in their portion. And both Reuven and God used the sheep as a subterfuge, as an excuse for them not to openly say to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want you to be buried in our portion. And according to this, it also answers a question on that Gemara. Why was it important that Hashem make him die in the portion of Reuven and have him buried in the portion of God? Why couldn't he just die and be buried in the portion of God? But now that we say that Reuven and God both had noble intentions, both wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to die in their portion, since we know that Ein Hashem Mekapeach Zchar Kol Berya, that Hashem gives the just reward to anybody who tries to do the right thing, then Hashem, as a reward to both Reuven and God for their selfless action, made Moshe Rabbeinu die in the portion of Reuven and be buried in the portion of God. And according to this, we could also say that that is the juxtaposition between the parsha of Mikne Rav, of them having a lot of sheep and asking for a portion outside of Eretz Yisrael, to the war of Midian. Because as we mentioned, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that you fight against Midian and afterwards you'll be gathered to your nation. B'nai God and B'nai Reuven knew that Moshe Rabbeinu's death is imminent. They decided that we have no choice. We have to act quickly to make sure that we get this portion outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then we get like that, we'll know that Moshe Rabbeinu is at least buried in some part of Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael. And according to this, we could explain an interesting Orachaim HaKodesh. The Orachaim HaKodesh notices the difference in language between what Moshe Rabbeinu tells that the condition is and what the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven accept. Meaning that in chapter 32, Pasuk 29, when Moshe Rabbeinu is relating to the tribes the agreement, Moshe Rabbeinu says like that, Im yavru Bnei God of Bnei Reuven itchem es ha-yarden, if the children of God and the children of Reuven will cross over with you the Jordan, kol cholus tamechom lefnei Hashem, everyone armed to go into battle before Hashem, v'nich b'sha'aretz lifneichem, and then Hashem will help you conquer this land, unesatem lohem eseretz ha-gilot lachuza, then you should leave the land of Gilad, means the other side of the Jordan, lachuza, for an inheritance. But v'im lo yavru chalitza mitchem, but if they do not cross over armed with you, v'noichzu b'soichem be'eretz Knan, then they'll take the heritage among you, the land of Knan. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad that you don't get a portion now, only after you cross over and after you help the war, then you'll get a portion of the land. But if you do not, then you do not get a portion of the land. Vayanu Bnei Gad of Bnei Reuven Leimor, and Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven answer, Es Hashem Dibra Hashem Avadecho Keinas, as Hashem has spoken to your servants, so will do. And then they'll change a little bit the language. Nachnu Navar Chalutzim Lefnei Hashem, we are definitely going to go armed in front of Hashem, Eretz Knan, to the land of Knan. And then they stress, Veitonu Achuzas Nachlaseinu Mevayarden, but with us, we already have our inheritance in the other side of the Jordan. Meaning, they said, what condition you made is right, but we are only going if you already have our inheritance in the other side of the Jordan. We want our inheritance now. We don't want to wait the 14 years until we get the inheritance. We want title for the inheritance right now. And the Rachaim says that they actually took by themselves this inheritance And Moshe Rabbeinu eventually, seeing that their intention was good, agreed to them. The Sefonos says the same thing as Dora Chaim, but he says that Moshe Rabbeinu agreed with them because Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to pursue more machloikas, more fights among the Jewish people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to agree with them and give them the land right away. As Pasuk 33 says, Vayitem leMoshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to them. Again, Dora Chaim and Sforna say, originally Moshe Rabbeinu wanted only to make a condition that if they cross over, then they will get the inheritance. But they said, absolutely not, we'll only cross over if we have the inheritance now. And the question you could ask is, since they know they are going to go anyways, and Moshe Rabbeinu wants them to get title on the land only later, and they are not going to be back in their towns anyways for 14 years, what's the difference to them if they get it now or get it later? Why are they so insistent on getting it now? If Moshe Rabbeinu wants them to get it later, why not? They are not going to do anything else on these towns. They are just going to build the cities and leave. So what's the difference if they get it technically now or get it later? According to what we just said, we could say that their insistence was very important because their whole intention of getting the land of Ivrei Yarden wasn't really because of the cattle, because of the sheep. Their whole intention was because they wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be buried in a Jewish land, in a land that's owned by the tribes. Therefore, since they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu's death is very imminent, they couldn't wait till after they conquer 14 years later to get the land. They wanted to have title for the land right now. They wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be buried on a land that's Jewish, a land that's owned by Gad and Reuven right now. Therefore, they had to change this condition. They say, yes, we'll cross over, but in the condition that we already have it from now on and not in the future, because otherwise Moshe Rabbeinu is not buried in the land of the Jewish people, or is going to die and be buried in the land of Goyim, which eventually will become land of Jewish people. But they wanted to be Jewish land right now. Therefore, they insisted in having title, in having the inheritance right now and there. The Shachal HaTorah gives a beautiful interpretation how come Reuven and Gad decided to take the portion outside of Eretz Yisrael. And he also believes that the whole idea of the sheep was just an excuse. But he explains that we know Rashi brings down on Parshas Korach, chapter 16, Pasuk number 1, that Korach was next to Reuven and he was able to influence Reuven. Rashi says there from the Medrash Tanchuma, the reason is because we say, Oy l'rasha, oy l'shchenoy, woe for a rasha and woe for the neighbor of a rasha, that if you live next to an evildoer, the chances are that you are going to get influence. Therefore, you are going to be punished together with the evildoer. Therefore, Dasam Vaviram and 250 people, which were mostly from the tribe of Reuven, were able to get influenced by Korach. We also know from the Medrash that Reuven is a fast learner, and Reuven always repents even before he's told that he committed a huge sin. We know that from the Rashi on Parshas Vayeshev. There it's written on chapter 37, by the sale of Joseph, it's written on Pasuk 29, Vayoshev Reuven elabor, Reuven came back to the pit, and Yosef is not in the pit. So Rashi asks a question, where was Reuven by the sale? Rashi in the second answer says that Reuven was busy doing tshuva because he moved his father's bed. Previously, Reuven moved his father's bed from the tent of Bila to the tent of Leah, and that was considered a sin. Reuven was busy doing tshuva, therefore he was not present at the sale of Yosef. The Medrash Rabbah says that Reuven, you started to do tshuva first, therefore I promise you that your great-grandson Hoshea is the one that's going to prompt the Jewish people to do tshuva first, like it's written, Shuva Israel ad Hashem Elokecha, repent, O Israel, until Hashem. But nonetheless, we see from here that Reuven is a fast learner, that Reuven, once he sins, he's able to do tshuva, he's able to repent. We also know from Bamidbar chapter 2, Pasuk number 10, where it describes the Reuven encampment to the south, that in the encampment of Reuven, there were three tribes. There was Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. Comes out that Reuven, Shimon, and Gad were neighbors. And we know from the end of Parshas Balak that Zimri ben Salu did a terrible crime with the Midianite, and because of that, 24,000 people of the tribe of Shimon died. Comes out that Reuven, after he learned from the story of Korach that it's not good to be neighbors if evildoer, decided that they don't want to be neighbors with Shimon. And they were afraid that if they go into Eretz Israel, Hashem is going to put the neighborhood the same way as the Degolim, the same way as the encampments were, and they didn't want any part with Shimon. Therefore, they decided that they going to ask their portion outside of Eretz Israel, and like that, they won't have bad neighbors. Reuven and Gad decided to ask for the land outside of Eretz Israel, but they didn't want to embarrass Shimon, saying that we don't want to be neighbors with you. Therefore, they gave the excuse that they have a lot of sheep and they need grazing land and they want to be outside of Eretz Israel. And according to this, we could also understand the juxtaposition between the parshas, because we could say that right after they saw that Hashem told them to take revenge of Midian, they realized that Shimon did something terrible. And if Shimon did something terrible, they don't want to be neighbors with Shimon. They decided that after that, they will take the portion of the land outside of Eretz Israel rather than have a bad neighbor as Shimon. We see from these parshas how important it is to get good neighbors. We also see how important it is to judge somebody favorably, that we are going out of our way to try to understand how can Reuven and Gad give up the holiness of Eretz Israel, that they must have a good reason for doing that. It cannot just be for monetary gain that you are going to give up such a holy place as Eretz Israel. And we also see how the Mefarshim are going out of their way to judge Reuven and Gad favorably. So too, we must know that we have to go out of our way to judge every Jew favorably. And if we do that, we'll increase ahavas chinam, we'll increase baseless love, no reason love, just love another Jew because he's a Jew. And if we do that, we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'imheiro b'yomeinu, amen.